Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
People don't want to help until it's national. That's what Candace Bryant told Dateline when she asked for help finding her friend, Latasha Crump Coleman. At the time, the 46-year-old mother and corrections officer had been missing from Jackson, Mississippi for 2 months. Jackson police had performed 2 searches, but with few clues found, Tasha's loved ones were terrified that her case was going to go cold. Tasha was last seen on July 18, 2023. When she was a no-call, no-show at work 2 days later, her adult son Dexter and the rest of the family immediately suspected that something had happened to her. And those suspicions were pointed squarely at her estranged husband, Derek Coleman. Tasha's family spent the next year searching for her and fighting for justice. Then, just a few days after the one-year anniversary of her disappearance, a shocking act of violence occurred that made Tasha's loved ones wonder if they would ever get the answers they were desperately seeking. When a person goes missing, there's a special kind of pain in the not knowing. I want to tell you the stories of those who never came home. Today, I want to tell you the story of Latasha Crump Coleman. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Foy.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back.
Thank you for joining us once again. It's been a little while. I'm Kona.
And I'm Ethan.
And we're the husband and wife team behind this podcast. Each week, I tell you the story of an unsolved missing persons case. Ethan doesn't know anything about the case going into the episode, and he's here to provide his reactions and questions in real time, hopefully asking some of the same ones you have at home. Yeah, we took a little bit of time off for the holidays and for me to have the flu and like...
For the entire house, dude, to have the flu.
Yeah, it was
You just
so
got
bad.
It the worst.
I did. It was so bad. So yes, we are back. In the meantime, you may have noticed from the feed that I've launched a new podcast.
Yes.
It is a daily podcast that you can listen to wherever you're listening to this now. It's called Day by Day True Crime Stories, and it focuses on a different crime or justice milestone from this day in history. So it's a daily show. It is super short, like 10 to 15 minutes long. And it's a video podcast, so you can watch it on YouTube or Spotify, or just, you know, listen to it like you do this. But, you know, I just want to give that little plug since we haven't chatted in a while. So anyway, but now to this episode, to the beginning of season 6.
I cannot believe we're on season 6.
This I know.
Is so wild.
Yeah. So, yeah, I started the intro with that quote from Tasha's friend Candace because we are starting off season 6 with yet another example of a missing persons case with a clear suspect.
Mm.
That still can't gain traction with the media or police.
Interesting.
Yeah. There was just not a whole lot written about this. I mean, and most of what I found was local. Mm. So very little national attention to Tasha's case. And we have a lot of new listeners who found us through my coverage of the Monta Coughlin case. And it's important for me to highlight that the national attention and swift justice that we've seen there, unfortunately, is not the case with a lot of missing people, especially people of color. So we want to bring you Tasha's story in hopes that getting her name out there more will help encourage people to come forward with information. Before we get started, though, we've had a few new members join us over on Patreon, so we want to give a shout out to Cassie M., Nicole B., Sonia K., and Jesus R. Thank you so much for your support.
Thank you all so very, very much.
Remember, if you join us there on any level, starting at just $2 a month, you can get these episodes ad-free, and you also get a free copy of the ebook that I wrote. So with all that out of the way and my shameless self-promotion, let's get into the story of Latasha Crump Coleman. Latasha Crump was born on February 6, 1977 in Crystal Springs, Mississippi. Latasha was the second of her mother's four children and the third of her father's nine. After graduating from Clinton High School in Clinton, Mississippi, she obtained her cosmetology license. And both of these accomplishments are more impressive considering that while she was in high school, she also gave birth to her son, Dexter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she did all of that while having a baby. While Latasha may have done cosmetology on the side, her family has said in various, you know, reports that she ran several businesses, her career path eventually led to law enforcement. And in 2023, when all this is taking place, she worked as a corrections officer in a local prison. When she wasn't there, she loved arranging flowers and taking care of her two beloved dogs. I mentioned her son. Her son at the time was 31. So he was an adult, you know, already out living his own life. So it's just Tasha and her dogs. But 2023 was the end of a tough decade for Tasha. She and Dexter's father never married, but in 2013, it appeared that she had found love in a new man, Derek Coleman. The pair married, but at some point, their relationship turned sour. According to Tasha's loved ones, Derek was abusive, though it would be years before they knew the actual extent of his violence. According to a Facebook post, Dexter said that his mother hid the signs of abuse from him, and it wasn't until 2022 that he learned the full truth. And that seems to be the consensus of most of her family. It seems like some members may have known some things, but it truly wasn't until 2022 that they all found out what had really been going on. So on July 17th, 2022, Tasha filed domestic violence and malicious mischief charges against her husband of 9 years, Derek Coleman. The next day, the court issued a no-contact order against Derek. He was not supposed to talk to or go anywhere near Latasha, but he immediately violated that order.
Were they living together at the time?
No, I think they were separated at the time.
Okay.
Because on July 21st, which was just 4 days, you know, after she filed the charges, Derek allegedly went to Tasha's home and kicked in her door. She filed additional charges against him the next day. Jackson Municipal Court Judge Jeffrey Reynolds found Derek guilty of violating the no contact order on July 25th, calling him, quote, an extreme danger to the victim, end quote. Judge Reynolds set his cost bond at $2,500 and appearance bond at $250,000. However, in August, Derek's attorney, Damon Stevenson, appealed and asked for an emergency hearing regarding bond. He asked the judge to lower the cost of bond. That judge agreed to lower the appearance bond from $250,000 to $50,000, but left the $2,500 cost bond in place. Derek was further ordered to wear a GPS monitor for 270 days or, quote, until the appeal is resolved, end quote, and kept the no contact order in place.
Was there any particular reason why the second judge lowered the bond?
None that I've seen. And I don't know, you know, how bond is determined in Mississippi. But yeah. I do know in some places like California, for instance, it is income based. So based on your income, you will get a lower bond. Because the idea is that some jurisdictions, you know, want to be able to make bond affordable, because in a lot of places, you know, they set these outrageous bond numbers that they know the defendant can't afford, but that's basically just like giving no bond at all. So there, you know, there are some jurisdictions where they're saying, all right, if you're going to not give bond, then don't give bond. But right. if you're going to make it something that somebody could actually do.
I mean, obviously, hindsight being 2020, now that calls into question whether bond was set, you know, like, why was bond set at all?
Right, exactly.
Why wasn't it just denied if the concern was that he was a quote-unquote extreme danger to the defendant?
Yeah. Like, no, and I think that's a very good question.
Just keep him in jail then.
Right, yeah. I mean, especially because before this happened, he, you know, immediately violated the no contact order right. and kicked down her door. Like, you know, it's like she had already filed charges against him. She had already taken him to court, and that did not stop him.
Right. She's doing everything legally that right. she is supposed to be doing to protect herself. And then he violates all of that immediately.
Yeah.
And then the judge is like, well, you know, we'll set the bond really high instead of just denying him bond.
Right.
Now, of course, we also don't know what the rules are in Mississippi right. as far as that goes. So yeah. we don't know exactly whether there was some sort of stipulation or some sort of legal concern where the judge had to set bond.
Mm-hmm.
But I know I've never heard of that. Like, you can, I've always heard that judges can just deny bond.
Yeah. And I mean,
with justification,
here.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. But in same here. So I don't know the reasoning behind it, but it would prove to be bad. And honestly, them lowering the cost of the bond wasn't even the real problem, because remember how, you know, I said he was ordered to wear an ankle monitor?
Yeah.
Well, here's the catch. As is the case in many jurisdictions, the defendant is responsible for obtaining and paying for their own GPS monitoring device.
Hmm.
Yeah. No, this is another... Oh, man. I'm not going to go off on like a whole tangent about this. We talked about it a lot in the AJ Silva case, but this is a whole other thing in which the justice system has just rolled over to corporations, because it's all private companies who are making money off of this.
Right.
And so they hire these private companies to provide these monitors, and then the defendants have to pay them. And yeah, it's all corrupt. It's all terrible. So anyway, and this is happening all over the place. And, you know, Jackson, Mississippi is just one of them.
Yeah.
But so Derek was responsible for like calling up a company and getting an ankle monitor.
So what happens if he doesn't?
Well, as we find out, absolutely nothing.
Great.
Because Derek Coleman did not go and get his GPS monitor. And what's worse is that no one in a position of authority noticed. The courts weren't actively monitoring Derek or his GPS monitor usage, so none of this was discovered until much, much later. Or, as many would say, not until it was too late. Did you know that your actual age might not be the same as your biological age? That's right, it's not just about your birth date. Your body could be older or younger than you think. Hey everyone, it's Kona, host of And Then They Were Gone, and I am coming to you today to talk about True Diagnostic. With their True Age test, you can discover your true biological age, plus get insights into things like your risk for heart disease, Alzheimer's, and even early mortality. And the best part? It's all done from the comfort of your own home. No prescriptions, no lab visits, just a simple test sent straight to your door. True Age is actually sending me a test, and I'm really excited to see what it's going to say about my health. And frankly, a little frightened. Because even though I'm afraid it's going to tell me that my biological age is higher than my normal age, it's definitely information that I can use. Because by tracking my biological age, I can actually see how the changes that I make, whether exercise, diet, or sleep, can affect my health over time. And this isn't guesswork. The TrueAge test is based on peer-reviewed research from scientists working with Harvard, Duke, and Yale. I don't know. I like to know everything, so I think it's going to be really cool to know exactly how my lifestyle is impacting my body. I already know there's definitely room for improvement, and I think this is going to give me some actionable steps. So if you're ready to join me and find out your biological age, right now, my listeners can get 20% off their entire order at truediagnostic.com by using the code ATTWG at checkout. That's True Diagnostic, TrueDiagnostic.com. Just use the code ATTWG to save 20%. Plus, if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 20% off the 50% discount. Discover your true age today. During all of this, because we're going back to the summer of 2022, right? So during this whole period, Latasha had also filed for divorce. However, Derek kept failing to appear at their court dates.
Oh, Jesus.
So the process was just dragging on. Meanwhile, Derek was seemingly continuing to violate the no contact order. Sumiko Crump, Latasha's sister, later testified that Derek violated the no contact order, quote, all the time, and that on at least one occasion, he jumped on Latasha and beat her up. There are also allegations that he would drive by her house and just generally intimidate her.
And so, I mean, she's reporting all of this. So, like, I mean, nothing's happening?
No. And so the incident where her sister's saying that he jumped on her and beat Latasha up, I don't know when that happened. Like, I don't know if that was part of the charges, you know, that she had brought against him.
Yeah.
But in terms of him, like, driving by her house and just, like, parking in front of it and intimidating her, yeah, that's something that was just ongoing. And I don't know that she kept reporting it because, like, she might not have thought that it was worth it, you know?
Well, especially if there's no response from law enforcement.
Yeah, exactly. So that was just an ongoing thing in her life. Unfortunately, not a lot of details are known about July 18th, 2023, the last day Latasha was seen. And again, this is almost exactly a year later. In July 2022, she files charges. She gets the protective order. She files for divorce. Like, she's trying to do all of this to get away from this man. The whole process drags on for the next year. It's all awful. And then on July 18th, 2023, it's the last day Latasha was seen. So we know that her son, Dexter, spoke to her the previous day, which was a Monday. But she had to have been seen by someone on the evening of the 18th because a clothing description was given when she was reported missing.
Okay.
Now, according to early reports, she was last seen around 7:30 p.m. wearing a pair of black cut-up jeans and a black shirt. Now, there haven't been, honestly, a lot of detailed reports on Latasha's case, so the timeline's a little squishy here. But from what I understand, on the 20th, somebody in her family called her to let her know that one of their relatives had died, but they couldn't get a hold of her. So they ended up calling the prison where she worked, because as a corrections officer, she's not allowed to have her phone with her while she's working.
Right.
So they couldn't just, you know, call her cell phone, right? So they call her at work on the 20th, and the prison says that she was a no-call, no-show that day. And that had never happened before. That is not the type of person that Tasha was. Like, she showed up for work. She's very hardworking, very responsible. Like I mentioned, she had all these, you know, side businesses. She wasn't going to just blow work off. So Dexter found out about this and was obviously immediately worried. So he went over to her house and found that nothing was missing that would indicate that she'd planned on being gone for an extended period of time. So, like, her car was gone, her purse was gone, her keys were gone.
Standard stuff you would take if you're going anywhere.
Yeah, right.
Running errands or whatever.
Yeah, but nothing else was missing. Plus, her dogs, whom she loved, were locked up in their crates.
Oh.
like with no food, you know?
Yeah.
So something, again, she would only do, she was going to be gone for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And anytime she went anywhere or even like worked late or whatever, she would have somebody in her family go over and take care of the dogs, mm-hmm. you know, like anybody would, right? But she hadn't asked anyone to go check in on them. So basically what we're dealing with is a responsible woman with a violent, estranged husband who suddenly disappeared without a trace. So it's not too hard to understand where most people's minds went.
Well, yeah, of course.
I mean, you know?
Yeah, that's the natural progression. Like anybody that would look at that just on face value would see that, like, clearly he's the number one suspect.
Yeah. So Latasha has been referred to as disabled, and the Mississippi Bureau of Investigations issued a silver alert for her due to, quote, a medical condition that may affect her judgment, end quote. And I don't know what that means. Honestly, it could just mean that she's on medication, that if she doesn't take it, it could cause problems. But in any case, the story did get picked up by local stations. But as I mentioned at the beginning, it didn't immediately garner any national attention. Jackson police did do a few searches, but after that, it sounds like it was just pretty much on the family. Latasha's son Dexter told Dateline's Missing in America, quote, the police department, they did two searches, but all the other searches been me and my aunt, her sisters and brothers, friends, whoever. We just been out on our own, end quote.
So do we know what those two searches are? Like, did they search her estranged husband's house, his car? Did they question him? Did they find anything out about his whereabouts? Like,
so I will, we'll obviously get into this more as the episode goes on, but no, I don't have any specific information on where these searches were.
What they actually mm-hmm. did. Wow.
The family was concerned that part of the reason Latasha's disappearance wasn't getting much attention was due to the timing of it. Latasha was reported missing just days after Carly Russell, another Black woman, had allegedly gone missing in Alabama after calling 911 to report seeing a toddler wandering along the side of a highway alone. Do you remember this story?
Vaguely sounds familiar. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was like a huge story and everybody was freaked out because, yeah, this woman, she was driving. She calls 911. She says she sees this kid on the road. She pulls over ostensibly to go like get the child to make sure they're safe and then disappears. So police get there. Her car's there. It's empty. You know, it looks really bad and very mysterious. But Carly turned up 2 days later and her abduction was deemed to have been a hoax.
Hmm.
That case got a ton of attention. And when her story was found to have been false, many people worried that it would affect future cases of missing people, especially people of color who already have trouble getting as much media and police attention as missing white women. Now, we don't know if Carly Russell's hoax affected the way Jackson police treated Latasha's case, but what we do know is that despite having a very obvious suspect, police didn't seem incredibly interested in tracking Derek Coleman down to bring him in for questioning.
Which is insane to me on many levels.
Yeah.
Like, clearly, you have a very easy suspect to, at the very least.
That's what I'm saying. I feel like this could be a pretty easy win for you if you just go for
it.
Yeah. You know?
I'm also, like, stunned because she was in law enforcement.
Yeah.
Like, I get she's not a street cop, but corrections is still law enforcement. It's a very niche part of law enforcement that, honestly, most people do not want to do.
No.
So, like, kudos to her for doing it to begin with. But, mm-hmm. like, and again, yeah, you know, I don't want to make it sound like law enforcement personnel should get preferential treatment, but it's just mind-blowing to me that they weren't
more concerned that one of their own
yes.
went missing under very suspicious circumstances.
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree.
Given the history of this, which is known, it's documented in court cases. What the hell?
No, it's crazy.
They were just like, she's gone.
Yeah. But it's she took her keys, she took her car.
But oh my God, though, but it's not like just where these other cases that we have where people, where there's no history of violence or whatever, and they get up and go or whatever, and it is a possibility that they just left on their own accord. Mm-hmm. Like, this clearly is not one of those cases. I mean, yes, there's no sign of struggle in the house, but like,
right.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean,
there's an obvious looming threat.
No, for sure.
That has been in her life for at least a year.
Yeah.
I mean, longer, but.
But yeah, we know it's been a problem for at the very, 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 very least a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, there wasn't a struggle in the house. It's not like she was violently abducted, but that doesn't mean something bad didn't happen.
While she was out.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it seems likely that she left her home of her own accord.
Sure.
One way or another.
Yeah.
But again, something bad can still happen. Like, yeah. And it clearly did.
I mean, there's evidence of him having stalker behavior mm-hmm. outside of her house.
Yeah.
He could have easily, like, started tailing her somewhere and then, you know, did something not great to her while she was out.
Right. Any number of things could have happened. You know, he could have convinced her to meet him somewhere, maybe saying, you know, hey, I'll give you a divorce. I'll do what you want. I just need you to do this. Like, you know, like it could have been any number of things.
Right.
But we don't know because police didn't ask.
Wow.
In August 2023, a month after his mother went missing, Dexter told reporters, quote, I know my mom wouldn't just up and leave without saying anything. She was going through a divorce and now the husband missing as well. What a coincidence. He won't show his face or answer his phone. I know he knows where my mom is located. He has everything to do with it. End quote. So it's August. Latasha hasn't been seen in a month. Her family is talking to reporters about how they think her estranged husband is behind this. And not only do police not bring him in for questioning, they apparently don't realize that he's violating the conditions of his bond by not wearing his ankle monitor. They didn't even look into him to the extent that they would go, huh, let me go look at the records and see where this dude was July 18th to July 20th. And then, oh, there are no records. Wait, he's violating his bond. Oh, my. Like, none of this was done. Like, they could have had an official document of where this man was when this woman went missing. And not only did they not have that document that they should have had, they didn't even realize they didn't have it because they never looked.
Yeah. I don't want to get off on a rant on this, but this is systemic with the elimination of probation and parole throughout the entire United States. It became very politicized. It was an easy thing to cut from budgets. But the reality is, you get instances like this where they say, okay, this is what you have to do previous to your trial. What used to happen is you were assigned to pretrial services where you would get a probation officer who would monitor what you were supposed to do pre-trial. And if you violated your probation, you would get arrested and sent back to jail. But because probation and parole became a very easy thing to politicize and get cut from budgets, that really doesn't exist anymore. And now you have people that are in, quote unquote, in the system, but are not being monitored by anybody because your local jurisdiction is already overworked monitoring the streets. Mm-hmm. And that's not really a function of their job. There was this entire unit that did that, and it's gone now.
Yeah. And so people like Derek Coleman slip through the cracks.
Yes.
And you have a case of a missing person, which should and could have a ton of evidence, you know, one way or another. I mean, maybe exonerating him.
Yes,
who knows?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But we don't have it.
Right.
A whole other month went by before someone seemingly realized that Derek should have had an ankle monitor this entire time. An emergency bond revocation hearing was held on September 29th, 2023. At this hearing, the judge did revoke Coleman's bond and remanded him to jail.
Cool. Was he there for it?
He showed up.
Oh, he actually showed up for mm-hmm. that. Wow, that's shocking.
Yeah, he didn't run. Like, he didn't go anywhere. Like, from what I understand, like, he was hanging around Jackson. He just, like, wasn't answering his phone when Tasha's family was calling him.
Christ.
Like, he was laying low. But, yeah, I don't think he went anywhere. So, when this emergency bond hearing was called, like, he showed up with his lawyer.
But nobody questioned him.
No. And this is the end of September. She went missing at the end of July. This is 2023. He should have had that ankle monitor on since, like, September 2022.
Right.
Like, a whole year almost.
Yeah, and if she hadn't gone missing, he probably never would have gotten the ankle monitor. And it just would have fizzled out or gone away.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So I cannot imagine not only the fear, but the frustration that Latasha's family must have been feeling. She's missing. They think they know who's responsible, but police don't seem to be doing anything. It's no wonder that all hell broke loose in December when Derek made a second court appearance trying to appeal his bond revocation. Derek Coleman was back in court on December 7th, 2023. His original court date was November 29th, but the judge had continued that case after it became clear that neither the prosecution nor the defense was actually fully prepared. At the hearing, the judge dismissed Coleman's appeal, and he was sent back to jail to await his next hearing in a lower court. Now, at this December 7th hearing, members of Derek Coleman's family were there to support him, and members of Latasha's family were there to see what was going on with the man they believed was responsible for her disappearance. As the hearing ended and both parties were trying to leave the courthouse, they were prevented from exiting because a county supervisor was holding a press conference on the courthouse steps and they were blocking the door. So this left both families in the lobby. And unsurprisingly, things began to get heated. Words were exchanged, and the words led to blows. As the brawl started, deputies ushered the families out of the courthouse where the fight continued on the steps, all with news cameras rolling, because they were already there for this press conference that was completely unrelated. The deputies tried to stop the fight. The county supervisor got involved. It was pure chaos. Luckily, no one was severely injured. I think the worst that happened, somebody got a bloody nose. But a total of 5 people were arrested. It was a couple of members from each family, basically. Days later, Derek Coleman had his hearing, his next hearing that was in the lower court. And that judge gave him no credit for time served and ordered him to serve the full 6-month sentence for violating the no contact order that his wife had against him. But that was the end of Coleman's legal woes. Just a week later, on December 18th, he was charged with bringing contraband inside of the jail after he was found to have a cell phone. And this cell phone he apparently brought in on December 7th, like the day of that first hearing, like when he showed up.
Jesus.
And nobody found it. I don't even know. As the months went on, Jackson police claimed to be investigating Latasha's disappearance, but there wasn't a lot of tangible proof of that. Meanwhile, the Crump family kept pushing. In May 2024, they managed to get the attention of U.S. Representative Benny Thompson. Thompson found their story compelling enough that he called on the FBI to get involved in Latasha's case, saying in a statement, quote, "It is imperative that we leave no stone unturned in the search for Latasha Coleman. Her disappearance is deeply troubling, and we owe it to her family and loved ones to pursue every avenue available in our quest for answers. The expertise and resources of the FBI are essential in situations like these, where time is of the essence and the need for a thorough, exhaustive investigation is paramount." End quote. Now, it doesn't seem as though that was enough to get the FBI to launch an investigation. I've seen nothing about the FBI launching an investigation, despite Representative Thompson's urging. though Jackson Police Chief Joe Wade did tell reporters back in December 2023, so when that whole brawl happened,
yeah,
and before Representative Thompson got involved, that they had reached out to the FBI. He also said that they had conducted large searches and subpoenaed phone records, but they didn't have any new leads.
Okay. Phone records of who?
No idea.
And large searches of where?
No idea.
Those are the most did you get her phone records? Or did you, again, investigate the estranged husband who has a history of violence against her?
Right. And what does phone records mean? Did you get the phone bill? Did you get GPS data? Did you,
Right. Yeah. Oh, my God. What the hell is going on in Jackson?
Yeah. Well, he also said that Coleman's name has been, quote, high on their radar, end quote.
High on their radar? Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I have never been able to find a single source, and somebody, dear God, please correct me if I'm wrong, because I have not been able to find a single source that says that police ever sat down and interviewed Derek Holman.
How do you not? This is so mind-blowing.
I know. And soon, they were going to lose their chance forever. July 18th, 2024, marked the one-year anniversary of Latasha Crump Coleman's disappearance. On that day, dozens of her friends and family members gathered and released purple balloons, both in her honor and to raise awareness for domestic violence, as purple is that movement's color. Latasha's son Dexter told WLBT, quote, "We are just trying to keep it alive and keep her name alive and just not let anyone forget her," end quote. Her sister Simiko Crump repeated the family's request that law enforcement do anything in her sister's case. She told reporters, quote, "We want Hinds County, we want Jackson Police to stand up and do your job as law enforcement and help find and bring my sister home. Charge those that are involved, bring them in, and show us that they're trying," end quote. Sequerna Banks, the deputy chief of major investigations with the Jackson Police Department, also spoke to reporters, though somewhat defensively, in my opinion. She said, quote, "We have actually reached out to our federal partners, our local partners, and our state partners. We've conducted many mass searches. We actually had dogs come in, and we have used drones. We've actually been outside of the city limits to try and locate Crump Coleman," end quote.
Okay, but did you interview her estranged husband, who was serving jail time for violently violating a protection order? Like, I don't understand this. If you've questioned him and you've ruled him out as a suspect, say that. But it doesn't appear as though they've done any of that. And
no.
What searches have you done? Who cares if you brought in drones? You brought in dogs. Where did you search?
She's not a missing hiker.
Right. Where did you search? What are you doing?
I don't know. Like, listen, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have done searches. I'm not saying they shouldn't have brought in dogs and drones and whatever. But like, again, they're treating her like a missing hiker,
right,
not the victim of domestic violence who has been harmed,
right,
by a person who is right there,
yeah,
in Jackson, who you could talk to.
Now, you did say they put out a silver alert, right?
Yeah.
Because of whatever the medical condition was.
Right.
I mean, hopefully in that silver alert, they put out her vehicle information too.
Yes, yes, they did. So, yes, okay. I should also mention that, you know, when she said actually three times in that statement, she didn't actually talk about interviewing Derek Coleman.
Right.
And, you know, he had been in jail for 6 months. So, like, they definitely knew where he was, but he was released in June 2024. So they did have 6 full months with him. Just straight up in jail, not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if they wanted to, like, wait till he was a free man, they could have done that, too, because he'd already been out of jail for, like, almost a month by this point.
Yeah.
But in any case, just 3 days later, on July 21st, 2024, Derek Coleman was killed in a shootout at a gas station. According to police, a Honda Accord drove to the Shell gas station on Suncrest Drive at McDowell Road in Jackson, and the rear passenger opened fire. Four people were injured and two died. One was Coleman, and the other was 37-year-old Jasveer Singh, who was the owner of the gas station.
So, most likely targeted at him, not the owner.
Well, yeah, I mean, probably, or maybe not. So, here's the thing. You know, my first thought was, okay, he got out of jail, somebody's coming after him, maybe for revenge, maybe just for something else he's done, who knows? But as it turns out, because I did a little searching to find out, like, if they ever caught the guy or whatever.
Or did any
investigation
yeah. at all, or they were just like, man, well, that happened.
But when I Googled, there were so many gas station shootings in Jackson, even just that year, that, like, I kept on finding different ones. Because I was like, because I saw one that's like, oh, arrest has been made in gas station shooting. And it was just a completely different gas station shooting.
Okay. So it could have been random.
It could have been random. And I mean, the one, like, one of them was over a girl, you know. So, like, I don't know how random they really are, but, like, apparently shootings at gas stations are a real problem there.
Okay.
So I don't know.
I mean, still, police had many opportunities.
Right.
To question him.
I mean, they had a full year.
Yeah.
A full year in 3 days. Coleman's death, of course, brought Latasha's case back into the spotlight, but unfortunately, it didn't bring forth any new information or leads. In fact, it seems as though the case has gone cold. But that doesn't mean it has to stay that way. If Derek Coleman is, in fact, responsible for Latasha's disappearance, then yes, he took a lot of secrets to the grave. Police will never get the chance to interrogate him. But truly, that's fine. Plenty of murder suspects never speak to the police. The smart ones immediately lawyer up and never give a statement, much less subject themselves to a full interrogation. This case can still be solved without Derek Coleman. Jackson police did say that phone records have been subpoenaed in this case, but as we kind of talked about, like, we don't know the extent of the information gathered or whose phone records were even looked at. I also saw no mention of social media accounts or physical searches of either Derek or Latasha's home. Now, I did see Dexter, her son, say something on Facebook a while back about how they lost Latasha's home. So, you know,
it's gone.
I don't know. And I don't know where Derek was living or what the status is of that home. So I don't know what could be done in either one of those locations at this point. But I mean, we've had cases before where homes have been searched that the parties haven't lived in for years.
Right.
And evidence has still been found.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like the homes are still there as far as I know. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, things can still potentially be found.
Yeah. Well, it also stands to reason that her home probably wouldn't have yielded anything anyway, because Dexter went through it and
everything seemed fine.
Right. Now, yes, of course, Dexter is not a cop or a forensic examiner or anything like that. But if anything seemed out of the ordinary, he probably would have mentioned it.
Exactly. So even if there's nothing in either of the homes, there could absolutely still be evidence that is out there just waiting to be uncovered, either electronic or physical.
I mean, where did her car go?
That's exactly what I was just about to get to, because that is also missing still to this day. And that car, if it doesn't contain Latasha herself, could certainly contain other evidence.
Right.
And it is a gray 2002 Acura MDX with a Mississippi license plate, HPA8639. And I'll also put that in the show notes, but I wanted to say it in the episode as well. Jackson police can absolutely do something in this case. Their hands are not tied. The evidence is not gone, at least not all of it. There just needs to be enough pressure put on them by the public in order to force them into action. And it shouldn't have to be like that. But this is season 6 of this podcast. We've covered hundreds of missing persons cases. And if you've listened to even a fraction of them, You already know that public pressure is often necessary to get the wheels of justice moving in this country. Latasha Crump Coleman was the victim of domestic violence. She was terrorized by her husband even after she, quote, did the right thing and reported him to police and got a protective order. She disappeared and left a hole in the lives of those who loved her. She deserves to be found. She deserves to have people talking about her. So please, please keep talking about Latasha Crump Coleman. Latasha Crump Coleman has been missing from Jackson, Mississippi since July 18, 2023. She's a Black woman with black hair and brown eyes. She was about 5 foot 5 inches tall and approximately 180 pounds at the time of her disappearance. Latasha was last seen wearing black cut-up jeans and a black shirt. She was driving her car, a gray 2002 Acura MDX, with a Mississippi license plate, HPA8639. She was 46 when she went missing. She would be 47 today. Anyone with information regarding Latasha Crump Coleman's disappearance is urged to call the Jackson Police Department at 601-960-1234. You can see all the sources for this episode along with photos and videos at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook and at ATTWG Pod on Instagram and TikTok. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help new listeners find us. And the more people that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by me, Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketza. Additional music is provided by Kai Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.